Well, good morning. It is a different way to gather together, but we're glad that we can be able to do this. So we love you. We're praying for you, and we'll just see what the Lord has in store for each and every one of us. But I wanted to start, if you wouldn't mind, by quoting the paragraph, the first paragraph of the letter that I sent to you on Friday. I said this: as you are well aware, life in America has changed a lot in just a week. I am reminded of Paul's words in 2 Timothy 3, verse 1, where he said, "But know this, that in the last days, perilous times," in other words, times of stress, "will come." Well, the coronavirus is yet another example of this truth, for sure. Times are different at the moment, and only the Lord truly knows what is ahead. But we as Christians are not without hope. He is still on the throne, and his love for us is everlasting. Truly, it is a wonderful thing to be his child. May we say amen to the words of Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, where he says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." Now go with me to Matthew chapter 24, please, just for a moment. Kind of like a little update about where we are at this point, at least from my perspective. There in Matthew 24, beginning in verse 3, it says, "Now he," Jesus, "sat on the Mount of Olives. The disciples came to him privately, saying, 'Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?' And Jesus answered and said to them, 'Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many.'" Underline that, underscore that, understand that that will be something that we will see in the end times. Now, I believe that we see that to a certain degree at this point, but even more so as we come closer and closer to the return of Jesus Christ, we will see these things. In verse 6, it says, Jesus said, "And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled." Interesting statement right in the midst of this. All this is going on, and Jesus said, "See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." Personally, I don't believe we're at the end. But as we'll see here in a moment, that I believe that we're seeing things that are telling us that we are closer than we've ever been before to the return of Jesus Christ. In verse 7, it says, "For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines." Now the next word, pestilences. Anything like that going on in the United States and beyond the United States today? It goes on, it says, "And earthquakes in various places, and all these things are just the beginning of sorrows." And so personally, what I believe is we're seeing the beginning of sorrows. But with these words of Jesus in mind, it's sobering to think that as disruptive and deadly as this virus is, it is only a precursor of things to come. Think how terrible the tribulation will be when catastrophic events will dominate the world. Now, let's consider three things we are to walk through, how we are to walk through these challenges that are set before us. If this is only the precursor, if it's only the beginning of things, it's important that we walk through correctly. Right now, we need to understand how we are to walk through these things. Number one, and I believe it's very important, the word says, don't be afraid. Jesus said in Luke 21, verse 9, "Do not be terrified. Our hope and help are always in the Lord." Someone has well said, we must exercise faith over fear and trust over trepidation. God is in control. It's not a mantra of the Christian faith. It is the foundation for our everyday lives. God is in control. We are to lean on him and be sensible about the simple things of life during this pandemic that we are presently experiencing. We should wash our hands. We are honoring what our governor asked us to do, to not meet because we have over 250 people that meet each service, second and third service of each Sunday that we do that. John the Apostle gave us these words of truth to stand upon. And this is what he said in 1 John chapter 4. "Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in the world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Thus, our privilege simply is to remain in the Lord." It's hard not to get anxious, It's hard not to be fearful, but Scripture challenges us over and over that we shouldn't go that direction. So number one, let's not be afraid. Number two, we must be people of faith and prayer. As God's people, we must go to prayer and faith, maybe like we have never done before. President Trump is asking us to take today and pray for the defeat of this virus and the protection of the people of the United States of America. And I pray that we would do that as we go through our life today. Be not mistaken, though, this is a serious thing. But as Proverbs says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. May we be people who stand and walk in faith. That's number two. Number one was don't be afraid. Number two, be people of prayer and faith. And number three, be concerned for unbelievers. We have an opportunity, brothers and sisters. We have an opportunity where hearts of people are becoming very open. If this virus is just a precursor of things to come, we should be even more motivated to share our faith with unbelievers so that they won't have to experience the great tribulation spoken of in Revelation chapter 6 through 18. People need Jesus, and we are the conduit of the gospel for our generation. The pandemic we are currently facing is awakening people to their own mortality, and it is an open door for us to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news. We must be open to that, and I pray that we would be sensitive to that. I like what a pastor named Gary Hamrick said, and this is what he said. While the world is presently in crisis, may we as believers be an example of Christ's peace in the midst of the storm. Let us trust Jesus, and let us live our lives in such a way that it will cause people to ask us concerning the reason for the hope that we have. The end times are coming. They truly are, but so is Jesus. And so, with these things in mind, and as we continue to evaluate things week by week, being sensitive to what our government is saying, what the Lord most importantly is saying to us, I just wanted to share with you that our office will remain closed until Monday of next week. Small groups can meet according to what the leadership and the people desire to do. Like our small group today is meeting for the newcomers class. I checked with everybody, and everybody wants to do that. If you have any needs, though, please contact one of the pastors or call the office, and you'll find a number there for the pastor that is on call. Finally, may we stand upon the words of Isaiah 41:10. It says, "Fear not, for I am with you." The words of God. "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." So with all that going on, I just thank you that you will remain in prayer, and let's stay close to Jesus. Now let's go to our study for today. Let's go to Philippians chapter 1, please, where we'll have a short time in the Word as we continue through the book of Philippians. Join with me, please, now in this wonderful, wonderful book. It's a tremendous book. Last week, we studied the fact that Paul's heart was revealed in 8 different ways, if you can remember those things. Here they are. We saw that Paul's heart was revealed and that he had a thankful heart. He had a heart of prayer. And may we have all of these things too in our lives. He had a heart of joy, even in the midst of being in prison. He had a heart of fellowship. He had a heart that was confident in the workings of God, to trust God, to lean not on our own understanding, but to follow God in all that he wants to do in our lives. Paul had a heart of Christian bonding. Paul had a heart that was growing and discerning in love, and he had a heart of righteousness. This week we'll be studying Paul's heart concerning being a witness for Jesus Christ. And it's a beautiful, beautiful section. It's broken down into 3 areas as we go through this. First of all, Paul shared the gospel regardless of circumstances. Will we do that? No matter what the circumstances are, when we have the opportunity, will we follow Paul's example and share the gospel regardless of circumstances? Number two, we're going to look at the fact that Paul held no personal jealousy nor desire for credit or prestige. He was a humble man. He was a broken man. And that's no doubt how he became a humble man. But he didn't hold on to things, as we will see in this section here. And then third, Paul's possess the assurance of a happy ending, deliverance. Even in the midst of this virus, do we know that there's a happy ending for each and every one of us? So join with me, beginning in verse 12, Philippians chapter 1, where Paul says, "But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. That is, it has been evident, so that it has been evident, become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ." What we see here is over and over Paul's witness. For instance, right here, we see Paul's witness. And what was his witness? My chains are in Christ. In verse 12, we see Paul's witnesses where it says, actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. We see his witness there. Look at verse 14. We see another example. "And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident of my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." Paul's witness was such that people would become even more bolder to speak the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul goes on in verse 15. "Some indeed preach Christ, even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill." A contrast we see here. "The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains. But verse 17, "The latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel." There's Paul's witness again. "What then?" In verse 18, Paul says, "Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached." Look at the heart of Paul here. "And in this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice." What a witness we have from Paul. And then he wraps it up in verse 19. He says, "For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer," number one. And number two, look at this, underline this, star this in your Bible, "and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ." These verses are amazing verses. And so I want to dive into them a little bit. Let's go back looking at verse 12 through 14. "But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel." And so he was imprisoned. He was persecuted. His freedom had been taken away. But he came to the point to realize that this was actually used by God to further the gospel message. Today, as we look at this virus that we have, could it be that in the midst the Lord would want to use this in the lives of our family members, people that don't know Jesus Christ? And because of this, the gospel can be furthered. And I dare say that that is true. He goes on in verse 13, he says, "so that it has become evident," notice everyone is aware of this, "to the whole palace," everybody, the whole palace guard, "and to all the rest, that my chains are in Christ." I'm here because of Jesus Christ. I'm not here because I've done something wrong. Paul makes a statement there. They know because of Jesus Christ, because of my faith. And that's a powerful witness. Imagine a lot of people were there. We know that Nero had 10,000 soldiers that were the highest trained soldiers that he had that were there around him to protect him. These were the soldiers that were guarding Paul. And so we see that he was able to share with these men. And maybe some accepted the Lord. And maybe some talked to their families. And maybe some talked to their best friends. And there was a revival in the midst of it. It appears that it was. But they knew that his chains were in Christ. Then notice verse 14. He says, "And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." Paul's witness was such that people would not be afraid because they saw that he would respond. Is that the way it is with my life today? Is that the way it is with your life today? That no matter what, we will make a stand for Jesus Christ. And others will note that we love Jesus Christ. A witness for Jesus Christ shares the gospel regardless of circumstances. And what an example Paul set for us. The lesson for us is this. We must never let circumstances totally get us down. We should never let our circumstances defeat our testimony and witness for Jesus Christ. No matter if we are facing persecution, if we're facing bankruptcy, if we're facing some form of failure or divorce, loss of a loved one, or rejection, it is vital for us to stand as more than conquerors in the midst of the battle. We know we find that in Romans chapter 8 there. It's a hard thing to do. It's not easy. I have been through tragedies. I truly have. But I have found in the midst of those tragedies, as I stand who I am with the understanding of who I am in Christ Jesus, then I find that He empowers me by His Spirit. And then he can be given glory for what He has done in our lives. We must always remember three things. Number one, we are not the victims of circumstances. This virus does not make us victims. We make precautions. We're wise in the way that we should be wise. I've honored the governor's request that we would close down the church here, at least for this Sunday, and we'll see how it goes in that way. So we are wise, but we are not victims of our circumstances. We are the conquerors, according to scriptures again, of our circumstances, all for the glory of Jesus Christ. Number two, we are not to allow our circumstances to discourage others. Very important. When we go through this, others are watching. And we must stand strong in what we know. To be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. And so we know that He'll take us through as we trust Him. We are to use our circumstances to encourage others as we stand strong in them. And third, we conquer circumstances for Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what he wraps up here, and we'll wrap up in a moment with that. Paul's strong witness, despite his terrible circumstances, stirred many believers to become much more confident in their own witnessing. Many were witnessing for the Jesus Christ in the midst of very difficult circumstances, and so should we. We can't hide. We can't be afraid. We must be wise. But we must stand and not allow the circumstances that are going on around us to control us. Paul goes on here and look at verses 15 through 18 where we see Paul held no personal jealousy or desire for credit or prestige. There in verse 15, Paul said again, some indeed preach Christ even from envy. Notice this. There's a contrast here. Number one, even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. You have the contrast there. Some from envy and strife, but the gospel is preached. It's interesting, isn't it? It really is when you think about this area of Scripture. Others for goodwill. We understand that. Verse 16, the former preach Christ from selfish ambition. They weren't sincere, supposed to add affliction to Paul's chains. But the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. What then? Paul asked. Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and in this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice. As I've walked with the Lord now for over 40 years, I've heard many testimonies about people that didn't even know Jesus Christ. Somehow, standing for the glory of God, a divine movement upon their lives. And I've met people that have been led to the Lord by an unsaved person. Is that possible? I believe that it is. And that's what Paul's saying. Well, however the gospel message goes out, you know, the gospel message, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. God loved us so much that He sent His Son who became one of us. We believe that message. We share that message. If a person is unsaved and they share that message, power of the Holy Spirit can come into the midst of that situation, and people by faith can give their hearts to Jesus Christ. It's an amazing thing, the power of the gospel. You see, Paul recognized that some people preach Christ out of pure motives and some others preach Christ out of impure motives, but the gospel was still preached. The latter group consisted of people who no doubt envied Paul's authority. They were jealous of him. They envied his position. They envied the ministry maybe that he had in that way. But notice the marks of hypocrisy that were manifested by these individuals. Number one, envy, which makes a person want what belongs to someone else. And so we never want to be envious. We can see that. But these people were It appears to be envy, as it says in envious in this scripture. But the gospel still went forward. The second thing we see is strife. That's an attitude of competitiveness. But still the gospel went forth. Contention is the third thing that he mentions here, which causes a person to resort to all kinds of intrigue in order to elevate self. But yet the gospel continued to go forward. Insincerity is mentioned here, or the opposite of doing something out of goodwill. But yet the gospel continued to go forward. And then pretense, which leads a person to cloak ulterior motives in that way. And so one might think, no, wait a minute, envy, strife, contention, insincerity, pretense, no way the gospel can go forward. But Paul said here that it went forward. And so if we're the other people, we're honest, we're goodwill, we preach the gospel because of love and truth, then how much more powerful will be our message? And that's what Paul is illustrating here. Four different times we see Paul's witness, Paul's witness, Paul's witness, Paul's witness. It's a beautiful thing. Paul, of course, did not condone preaching from false motives, but knew the hearers could be saved when Christ is preached, regardless of a person's motives. And so, I love that section. I really, really do. I can trust. So if that's the way it is for possibly even the unsaved can be used, those that have impure motives, then Lord, you will anoint the preaching of the gospel for the good reasons. So don't hold back. Don't hold back. Even this week, people that we love and know, people of our fellowship had parents die and go to be with the Lord forever and ever. That gospel message went forward to them somewhere, and then to be absent from that body, as you know, we say this often, is to be present with the Lord. And the last point that we see here is in verse 19. Join me there. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance. I love Paul's heart there. Through your prayer, number one, we are to pray. And number two, the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit in that way. Paul was sure that God would deliver him from the criticism and opposition he was experiencing. But notice Paul was assured of God's help because of two things that we see. There was the prayer of those who supported him. Prayer is a mighty, powerful vehicle that God uses to protect us. We should be men and women of prayer. Today, as I mentioned earlier, the president has asked us to intercede. That's no small thing. We have a president that at least recognizes that prayer works. And so today, as we go through our life, may we intercede on the behalf of the millions of people in the United States of America. And millions of people do not have a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Millions of people are very fearful, and we can come and bring in the gospel message. We can bring in the truth and the reality of God's peace and God's grace. And number two, notice here, what do we see? The supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Paul knew that the Holy Spirit would supply whatever he needed to get through his circumstances. This is also vital for us to realize. Today, do we know whatever it would be, that the Holy Spirit is not only with us, but he is in us, and he is upon us to endue us with power from on high. So in conclusion, let's look at some reasons why the Holy Spirit has been given to us. I look at this. I love how this message is ended here. Let's go back to verse 12. We're going to go through it, and then we'll get to verse 19. So join with me once again, verse 12. But I want you to know, Paul said this is important to him. I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. There's the first witness. Turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. So that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. There's the second witness that we see. Paul's stance, Paul's attitude, Paul's power in the Spirit, we see there became a witness. Then in verse 14, most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. There it is again, Paul's witness. Is that our witness today, that we are bold? Some indeed preach Christ, even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The contrast. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerity, supposing to add affliction to my chains. But, verse 17, the latter out of love, that's you and I, out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. There's Paul's witness. He would defend the gospel. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and in this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice. There's the fourth witness by Paul that we have there. And then verse 19, For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer, number one, and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Just for a minute, listen to what the Holy Spirit does for each and every one of us. The Holy Spirit has been given to us to encourage us to witness no matter what the circumstances are. The Holy Spirit was given to us to put a song and a joy in our hearts despite the circumstances that we find ourselves in the midst of. The Holy Spirit was given to bear His fruit in us. Remember Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, where Paul said, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law." The Holy Spirit was given to us so that we would have assurance that we are the children and heirs of God. Isn't that an exciting thing when you think about it? Today we are the children of God. We are the heirs of eternal life. I don't know what it's going to be like, but it's going to be better than Indianapolis in the middle of March for sure. But anyway, we're going to be with the Lord forever and ever. The Word says the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. It gets better. Listen to the next one. The Holy Spirit was given to us so that we could pray and intercede, and our prayers would help other people. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered in that way." Today, not only do we have Jesus, praise the Lord for that, but we have the Holy Spirit. And greater is He that lives in us than he that lives in the world. And lastly, the scripture out of 1 Corinthians 2, the Holy Spirit was given to share the deep things of God with us. Paul said, "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him." That's you and I. "But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God." Are we blessed people? We truly are. Are we going through challenging times? Yep, we are for sure. But are we fearful? No. Are we defeated? No. Have our circumstances overcome us? No way. Because we are witnesses for Jesus Christ. Paul set that example for us. Jesus set that example as we went through these scriptures. It's a beautiful thing that we see. Paul gave us three encouraging messages in these verses. Number one, Paul shared the gospel regardless of circumstances, and so must we. Paul held, number two, no personal jealousy nor desire for credit or for prestige. That's why I love you people. You people are amazing. You people are wonderful. I get comments so often. I just got a letter that came back that somebody visited us from California, of all places, and came here, and they were blown away that by the time they got into the service, they had been greeted three or four different times by people that sincerely wanted to know them and reach out to them. And I think I am more blessed than anybody on this planet because of being able to be among you guys. It's a beautiful thing that we see. And we have hearts, I pray, that are very tender, very humble, and we don't have jealousy in our midst, and we don't look for credit I love the staff here. I love the people that serve here. I love the leadership that I've seen because I see humble men and women that really love Jesus Christ. And the third thing that we saw here, Paul possessed the assurance of a happy ending, deliverance. Guess what? We're going to be with Jesus Christ. I hope you're all saying amen, praise hallelujah, hallelujah, or whatever it is that we say sometimes together right there in your homes and all that. Love you guys. We're going to continue this week. We'll be sensitive to what the Lord says. We want to be wise in what we do or what we do not do. And so let's not be fearful. Let's not lose our compassion. Let's not, be confused in any way whatsoever. We serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for today. We thank you for what we're in the midst of because you control everything. We are assured that not only will you be with us as we walk through this, but Lord, you will take us through every situation. We can trust you. Financially, we can trust you. For the health of each and every one of us, we can trust your will and purpose in our lives. And Lord, we just love you. And we pray for the United States of America. We pray for our president. We pray for the cabinet. We pray for the Congress. We pray for the House of Representatives. We pray for the Senate. We pray for the governors of our state. We pray for the mayors of our city. We pray for all elected officials, Lord. We pray that they would humble themselves and turn themselves unto you and cry out. And so we cry out for America, Lord. May you, yes, humble us. May you, yes, break us, but may you put us on fire. May there be a revival in our midst. And we love you and thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. God bless you guys. Love you. If you need anything, give us a call, please.